Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
7:36 on this very cool Sunday morning. I was just out on the WGN Storm Center patio, and I can very much attest to the single-digit temperature and the wind chill out there, which is something to keep an eye on. It's the WGN, our Storm Center website says we're supposed to get to 22 today. I don't know how we're going to get there, but hopefully we'll get there soon, please.
We have clear skies right now. Sunrise will help.
No, it won't.
You know better than
don't
that.
Don't try to be optimistic here, guys.
Is that one of your New Year's resolutions?
Yes, actually it is.
Get rid of it. Well, this is your Sunday Spin. And joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Chris Burry. He's the special correspondent for PBS NewsHour, co-host of In the Loop on WYCC Television, and senior journalist in residence at Chicago's DePaul University. Chris, thanks so much for getting up with me this morning.
It's my pleasure. Happy to be here, Rick.
And Happy New Year to
you. Happy New Year to you.
You'd had a piece that aired on NewsHour last night dealing with the issue of Obamacare, and specifically taking a look at what Obamacare has meant for the state of Kentucky. And it was very fascinating because in many respects, Kentucky is kind of used as a national model of what successes have occurred when it comes to insuring people who weren't insured, people taking advantage. I think it was the New England Journal of Medicine had taken a look about effects of Obamacare and about people taking advantage of some of the preventatives rather than going to the old emergency room and the uncompensated care issues that hospitals face there. But I wondered if you could just give us a brief summary of, you know, what the changes have brought to Kentucky.
Sure. Kentucky was considered a model, relatively poor state. As we know, Obamacare rolls out in 2013, and hundreds of thousands of people who never had insurance before sign up. And the rate of uninsured dropped just precipitously. Before Obamacare, one in five Kentuckians had no health insurance, 20%. After Obamacare, it dropped down to 7%. That was the biggest drop of uninsured in the entire country.
And that's even better than the national average.
Exactly. The national average, just under 10%. So in Kentucky, it was considered a big success. And what a lot of people don't understand about Obamacare, you know, you hear all this talk about the exchanges and, you know, Donald Trump's been talking about higher premiums. In places like Kentucky, the vast majority of Obama is because of Medicaid expansion. What they did was raise the eligibility from the poverty line to 133% above the poverty line. So give this in plain English. Family of four now making $33,000 a year qualifies in states like Kentucky for Medicaid. And that's been the big difference. You know, we found a couple, 60-year-old guy, who worked at a gas station. Before Obamacare, he had this insurance from the gas station, paid a maximum of $2,000 a year. He gets throat cancer, and quickly they go basically bankrupt. Under Obamacare, he's got chemo. He still has throat cancer, but he's got chemo and radiation, and they're getting the treatment for free.
And because it's Medicare, Medicaid, they have no payment.
Right.
There's no outlay for them. And it's health care they wouldn't get. The wife, who, because of the throat cancer, he can't speak, but the wife, speaking for both of them, basically saying they're still owing a lot of money from the previous insurance that only covered $2,000.
Right, and this is not a welfare case. This is a guy who worked, you know, a regular job at a gas station that just had lousy health insurance.
Right. And so now, under a Democratic governor, they accept the expansion of Medicaid as part of the program.
Right, about 30 states accepted this Medicaid expansion.
But now we move into the current situation. Kentucky, they elect a Republican governor, And
it's been very interesting. So the first thing that happened is the new governor of Kentucky, Matt Bevin, the first thing he did was kill the state exchange.
Connect.
Just like in Illinois, we have a state exchange, Kentucky. So that's gone. So people who did use that now have to go to the federal website, healthcare.gov. The second thing that he's trying to do, he's trying to put work requirements on those who receive Medicaid, that they would either have to work 20 hours a week, volunteer someplace, perhaps in a clinic, or go to school in order to get their health care. And for the first time, they would have to pay premiums. So that's what he's asking the Trump administration, incoming administration, for permission to do.
As a waiver from the current rules.
As a waiver. And by the way, there's no way the Obama administration was ever going to approve that waiver. But under the new regime, it's pretty clear that it will be approved.
So what this ultimately sounds like when you – and you quoted featured a Kentucky Republican legislator using the term that, well, people on this, they need to have some skin in the game. It's part of responsibility. And – you heard those arguments in the past when it came to issues of welfare. And so this brings up, is Obamacare welfare? And that's an interesting dynamic because we're talking about health care and the idea of skin in the game when it comes to health coverage. It seems strange.
It's a phrase that you hear a lot. Actually, the governor uses it as well. And you're exactly right. It raises the basic philosophical question. Are we talking about health insurance, which is the way I think most of us look at it, or are we talking about welfare? And Democrats would point out to this idea of skin in the game that most of these folks have plenty of skin in the game. They're working 2 to 3 jobs. They're taking care of kids, maybe sick elderly relatives. They've got a lot of skin in the game. And again, we're not talking here in most cases about welfare recipients. We're talking about people maybe working 2, 3 jobs to cobble together $32,000 a year in order to qualify. So these are, in many cases, the working poor, not any kind of a welfare state.
Well, and that's why the term that was also used, too, about, having to show some responsibility. Well, when you're arguing about sustenance for wages and those kinds of things, that's one thing. But here again, this is health care, health coverage. Not always, you don't get sick by your own making necessarily. And responsible choices, yes, we should all make responsible choices. But that having been said, healthcare can be a roll of the dice or when it comes to illness.
Exactly. And I think this is the question that's being framed in Washington. Is access to healthcare a basic right of Americans or not? And I think that question is at the heart of this proposal to repeal Obamacare.
I mean, I thought it was interesting, and the kind of payment that would be required, and it is a nominal payment. I think it was...
We're talking $180 a year, which is relatively small. And interestingly enough, some of the recipients that we talked to, including this family, Steve and Melanie Oxner, where Steve has throat cancer, they would be happy to do some extra work because having that insurance is a matter of life and death, literally, to them.
Right. It's everything for them.
Right.
But I do think that's kind of an interesting, that aspect of it, just as, and here again, that's part of that responsibility thing because, we don't want to give away freebies or anything like that. But that wouldn't generate really much at all. $180 a person.
Not at all. It's really not an economic thing. It's a philosophical thing. But this responsibility issue is something we're going to be hearing a lot more of because in the proposals from the Republican side in Congress, one of the big concepts is called continuous coverage, which means that you have to keep up your insurance. And if you slip, if you're late on one payment, you're going to be without insurance for a minimum of 6 months. And if you get hit by a truck or you're diagnosed with cancer, you are SOL.
Amazing. Amazing. But that's part of that responsibility.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're speaking with Chris Burry, special correspondent for PBS NewsHour, veteran newsman. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And I'm Rick Pearson speaking with Chris Burry, special correspondent for PBS NewsHour. We're talking about his piece that aired last night, and I guess you could find it at PBS NewsHour.
It should be on the website.
On the website.
Yeah, by today or tomorrow. Sure.
And I'd encourage you to take a look at it because it kind of is a very good setup piece for what we're already seeing in this newly sworn-in Congress, the efforts by the Republican-led Congress to repeal Obamacare, but no one's quite sure about the issue of replacement. And in fact, a number of Republicans even are saying maybe we shouldn't move so fast here until we figure out what we're going to replace it with. Are there parts of it to keep? Are there parts not to keep? But one of the interesting things, too, I think, in the piece that aired last night was the economic issue, which I think tends to get overlooked because it's focused more on the ideological kind of issues, but the question of what it means for the economy as far as the healthcare industry.
Well, it's interesting. The former governor of Kentucky, Steve Beshear, who rolled out the program back in 2013, told us that it had created hundreds of thousands of new healthcare jobs in Kentucky because more people had coverage and there was greater demand for coverage. Here in the Chicago area, I talked in a separate interview for a different story covering this topic with Dr. Jay Shannon, who is the CEO of the Cook County Hospital System. And really an amazing story over there at Strozier. Before the Affordable Care Act, the great majority of patients had no health insurance. And Strozier was losing millions of dollars every year. Now, fast forward 3 years later, two out of three patients who show up at the ER at Strozier now have insurance. Two out of three. And for 3 years in a row now, the hospital system has broken even. This is a hospital system that...
Say that again.
In the last three fiscal years, the Cook County Hospital System has broken even. And as anybody who's lived in Chicago knows, I mean, this is where... You know, the poor went for emergency care because they didn't have health insurance for years, and now two out of three have insurance, and they're at least breaking even. They're not making money. Of course, it's a nonprofit, but this is one of the largest publicly run health care systems in the United States.
Yes, and certainly through its history was always the issue of the increased funding that was needed to keep the health care system in Cook County afloat because of uninsured, because of the fact that the emergency room was the point of arrival for anybody because they didn't have insurance.
And we asked Dr. Shannon, what happens if they repeal Obamacare without a replacement? And the two words that he used were, one, nightmarish, and two, immoral. I mean, he is deeply concerned that this will be repealed and there won't be some kind of a coherent replacement. And that's the debate in Congress that you alluded to. Some in the Senate are saying, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't repeal Obamacare until we know what the replacement is going to look like. But I think in the House, it's just the opposite sentiment. We're going to repeal this in the first week of the new Trump administration, and we'll worry about a replacement, you know, in the next year or two, whatever.
Now, one thing, when we were talking about the Medicaid expansion, and under the rules, for the most part, the early part of this Medicaid expansion is almost all federally funded.
Exactly.
But there is a kind of a phasing in to where it gets to be that states will have to pick up 10%.
Yeah, beginning this year, the states have to pick up 5%, and by 2020, it goes up to 20%. But still, you know, 90 cents out of every dollar are being picked up by the federal government.
But you've had people, and in fact, I remember even a couple of years ago, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House now, but as a powerful Wisconsin congressman, then coming to the Tribune editorial board and basically saying states shouldn't be counting on getting that kind of reimbursement back.
But so far they have, right?
Right, but certainly an indication of what Republicans are looking at, as now they have one-party control of Washington.
I think the congressman that we kind of want to look at if we want to figure out where this is going is Tom Price, who's a Republican from Georgia. He's been nominated to be the new head of Health and Human Services. He's a doctor. He's a vociferous opponent of Obamacare. And his proposal is interesting because it would replace health care insurance with tax credits based on age. So if you have a child, you'd get about $900 under this plan. If you're 50 years old or more, you'd get about $2,000 max. But this is not health insurance, right? This is a credit for you to go out into the market and buy health insurance if you're lucky enough to get it. And what we don't know is whether insurance companies are going to cover people with pre-existing conditions. I mean, the two really popular parts that everybody knows about, one, you know, no longer can insurance companies discriminate on the basis of pre-existing condition. And number two, you can keep your adult kids on your policy till you're 26. Both of those are immensely popular, and Donald Trump has said he wants to keep those. The problem is if you kill the individual mandate, which is the way that you require people to pay for it, it's not clear how insurance companies could possibly afford to keep those two popular provisions.
But we do have the fact that in a number of places, Illinois too, questions about kind of this shifting landscape from insurers over, you know, what they offered, and frankly, there it's a learning game for them too on the issue of who's actually going to take advantage of insurance that's offered, some getting out of various markets, those kinds of things. And I mean, it is an there's an evolution going on.
Yeah, clearly parts of it were not working very well. I mean, the some of the state exchanges, as we saw in Illinois, some insurers pulled out and some raised their rates dramatically. When we were in Kentucky for a week, we saw this in the rural parts of the state. For example, Clay County in the east, all but one insurer pulled out. So if you're in the exchange there, you're not going to have the choice. Now, some people suggested there was a pretty easy fix for that, which is, well, you should raise the penalty for people not having insurance. There'll be more money for the insurance companies. But that's kind of the key of the problem here. You've got to have something like the individual mandate to force younger, healthier people to buy insurance. Otherwise, you can't pay for everybody else. But the question is the government going to be the referee here, or is it going to be private insurance companies? And that's the crux of what's going to happen here over the next 4 years.
Well, and I think, true, that was part of one of the initial problems was the younger, healthier part of that equation. They were willing to take the penalty.
Exactly.
And frankly, there wasn't much of a penalty, you know, that existed.
And in many cases, that penalty was actually less than they would have to pay in premium. So financially, it made more sense to pay the penalty.
Given the fact that we've seen some reluctance among Republicans there, I mean, and you actually, you know, you came to this point of the millions of Americans now who are covered and have health insurance for the very first time, that you just it would be politically untenable, I think, in among many politicians to just pull the rug right out.
I think there's some concern among Republicans that they don't have a plan. They've had 6 years, right, to come up with an alternative to.
So far, though, that was always just voting repeal.
Right, exactly. And now comes the governing part. So I think you're exactly right. You know, one of the political calculations for them is going to be, whoa, wait a minute. You know, if we dismantle a system that worked for most people, not all, as we said, there were definitely problems. If we dismantle this and throw people off health insurance or make it more expensive or more difficult to get, what will the blowback be when Congress is up for reelection in 2 years? And that's why I think you're seeing some Senate Republicans stand up, especially the moderate ones. Murkowski, for example, of Alaska, Republican senator, she's saying, whoa. You know, let's hold on here. You know,
I'm curious one last thing about, and this is something that people have asked me about, that you have, in some cases, voters that we saw in this election voting against, frankly, in many cases, their own self-interest.
That's the great political irony here, Rick. I mean, you got places in Kentucky overwhelmingly went for Trump. And I think they have no idea that health insurance is about to be upended. So, you know, did they vote against their economic and health interests? Possibly. You know, I put that question, actually the first couple in the piece, Steve and Melanie, were very clear that they supported Trump. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, do you see what you mean? What's going to happen here to your health care? And Melanie said to me, I'm confident Mr. Trump, who's a good businessman, is going to figure out a way to fix it. He's not going to leave us in the lurch. We'll have to see.
And there will be much more to this story.
Exactly.
Chris Burry, thank you. Special correspondent for PBS NewsHour, co-host of In the Loop on WYCC Television, and senior journalist in residence at Chicago's DePaul University. An honor to have you here. Enjoyed your work for many years.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
We'll be back with more right after this.